When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Emerald Island, St. Patrick's Day, shamrocks, leprechauns, Lucky Charms. I don't know. I don't know if that's really from Ireland, but Guinness beer. Guinness beer is, I know. And you too, all from the land of Ireland. We are the Vinyl Boys, and this week we will be playing a classic album from the late 80s, 1987 to be exact, released on Island Records. The name of the album, Joshua Tree. We are Dim Vinyl Boys. I'm Gentry alongside DJ Ramo G.
What's up, man?
We're all DJs. They call them disc jockeys. We got DJ Memphis on air.
What's the business, people?
And the man who really is DJing this show would be DJ Tomcat, as he is live from the DJ booth.
Top of the morning. I'm really excited to drop the needle for the lads here.
No doubt.
I'm excited about this album because this band intrigues me. One, because unlike most of the bands that we do, there's not a lot of drama between the band members.
Sure.
I mean, there's drama with Bono because he was a little bit of a narcissist asshole at times, and he'll even say that.
Oh, right away, huh?
But
in his little colored glasses.
He was also the leader.
Yeah, these four guys have stuck it out since they met in grade school in the mid-1970s, and they still, to this day here in 2023, as we record this show, they still out doing their thing.
That's dope.
The band U2. Let's get into it. The album Joshua Tree. We're hoping our DJ has it on the right side.
Fucking hope so.
Yeah, you don't want to mess this one up.
All right, go ahead. Drop the needle on yet another episode of Dim Vinyl Boys. Want to hear it? Oh, yeah. I like to hear that sound.
I'll drop it right on you.
Hey.
Over 30 years ago, this album came out.
Oh, don't remind me.
So apparently Joshua Tree is a Bible reference.
Is it?
Yes.
I thought it was like a concert venue.
What's a reference?
I don't know if it's a... I thought it was these trees that they're called Joshua Trees out west. And it's I guess it's got its
after
arms
the
open.
Desert plants named by the Mormon settlers after the Old Testament prophet Joshua because their stretching branches appear to be raised in prayer.
Interesting.
What is that, a Bible verse?
Joshua? Yeah, the prophet Joshua, the Old Testament? That's Bible. Yes.
Well, I knew it was Bible, but you said it was a Bible based on a Bible verse.
That's I said it was a Bible reference.
Oh, okay.
Reference. All right.
Yeah, Joshua Tree, the name of the album. I guess they were taking pictures out in the desert for the album cover, and they came across this tree. One of the guys in the crew was explaining to them that, oh, that's a Joshua tree. And Bono, being a big Christian guy, he liked the name and said, let's call the album Joshua Tree. And here it is. Track one. Which song is this?
The Streets Have No Name. This one's great. Where the Streets Have No Name.
Yeah.
This is... love this.
This is good when it comes straight out the gate.
It comes in with a great long instrumental and builds up.
Yeah.
Love this song. You're
supposed to post it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is 96K Rock. We're rocking up the top of the charts. Here comes a band out of Ireland. New song. It's called Where the Streets Have No Name on the Big K Rocker. Oh, I stepped on it a little bit.
You got it. You got it right on the post. You were good with that.
Nah, a little late.
Not that late.
So the story behind this song, I guess in 1985, Bono, of course it's all about Bono, visited Ethiopia after performing at Live Aid.
I remember
Live Aid.
Yeah.
And many assume this song is about that country since many of the streets there in Ethiopia don't have any names. But the song is not. It's actually metaphorical.
Is it?
What
it's
it says.
Metaphorical.
It's a metaphysical, metaphorical masterpiece.
No, I get you. Like, it's metaphorical.
Metaphysical
taser
mind.
Face. Yeah, taser face.
Taser face.
Now that is a Guardians of the Galaxy reference.
It is.
For everyone.
It is. Love that. Seriously.
How do we go from you two to fucking Guardians of the Galaxy?
You did that.
Yes, I did. This song is awesome, man.
Bono says that he never really finished this song. Like, he wrote, was writing the song and didn't finish it, but the studio and Island Records was like, we got to put this thing out. You can't polish it any more than it already is. That's why I learned that about Bono researching for this particular show. That unlike a lot of the rock bands that we've done, when you talk about Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and some of those like flamboyant rock bands, they're very full of themselves and know that they're the best. They come in with confidence. I guess when you really get deep down into Bono's mind, he never thought he was worthy. He didn't think he was good. He was his own biggest critic.
He must be a Virgo.
Like,
possibly. Well, they did have an album, I think, called Virgo.
Yeah.
So that's possible. Look it up. See if he is.
All right.
But he definitely, in the interviews I saw, just beating himself up. Even now that they were out doing the 30th anniversary about 5 years ago, I was watching an interview with Bono, and he was crediting the band. He was saying, man, the band still has it. Adam on bass guitar still has it. The Edge, better than ever. Larry on the drums, still keeping time. He's like, but me, my voice, I've lost it. I'm not as good as I once was. And then the rest of the band had to be like, yeah, come on, Bono, you still got it. You know, you're 60 years old out there belting these songs out. But seemed to beat himself up a lot.
Yeah, but it's good to be your own worst critic, and that's how you come out with some of that awesome music. And I'm sure there are times when he gives himself credit secretly when nobody's watching.
I'm the shit.
Do you hear that? He said, Bono said it sounded like an orchestra tuning up the beginning of the song. That's what it sounded like to me, too.
Right.
He said it felt like a great way to open the Joshua Tree album because it was like an orchestra tuning.
I like it. Uplifting. That's pretty cool. It's a good song. And I'm not sure what sign this is, but he was born on May 10th. I'm thinking
May
Taurus.
10th. I think so. Yeah, Taurus. Yeah, he's a Taurus.
May 10th.
Yep. He's a Taurus.
Taurus.
He's like a bull.
Yeah, a Taurus.
Yep.
This arrangement was apparently extremely difficult to produce, and they wrote it on a blackboard because it was so complex. That's what it says on Song Facts on the internet.
Really?
Yes.
Nice resolve.
They did what? March 27th, they did the photo shoot for that in 1987. Oh, day after my birthday. Boing.
Really? You were born in 87?
No, March 26th.
So you are...
March 27th is when they shot that video.
Okay.
March 26th
but it wasn't
birthday.
After your birth.
You're Aries, right?
Not the day of your birth.
No.
Okay.
I really love this song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for because I do have and can relate with this song because it seems like you just keep working hard in life to try to figure things out, and you have all these blessings, but you still are searching for something. You still haven't found what it is you're looking for.
I can relate. This is I Will Follow, right?
I still haven't found what I'm looking for, which is quite a long title for a song.
I still haven't
found what I'm looking for. And this one, man, if this comes on the radio, I'm always listening to it. So I'm driving in the car and I hear this comes on, I'm listening to the whole song.
Why did he call it What I'm Looking For?
I don't know. Because he's a Scorpio or whatever.
Taurus.
Scorpio.
That's a different band, actually, the Scorpion.
It's all in the signs.
He don't pay attention to it at all. That was great. I love it.
Bono does, vocally, I think, have a very unique sound.
He does. That is one thing I always said about him. Like, when you heard U2 come on, you knew it was them.
It's kind of a spiritual, emotional experience listening to U2 music.
And you hear that? Do you hear that like rhythm it has?
It
just, I don't know, it just keeps you there. It's a perfect tempo. I don't know. It's a good song.
I also read that this album was really an album like fantasizing about the States. They're a band from Ireland. Bono says that he always fantasized about the thought of America and what America stands for, but then he became a big critic of America because he would say to himself that a country that's based on these morals but not living by them.
He did
fantasize, though, as to what America has the potential to be.
Oh, my God. He was woke.
Before woke, he was very woke.
He understands. No. Every man should be a man.
But that's not what woke means, though.
No, but I mean, to a degree of every, maybe not.
No.
What is woke, then, Memphis?
Woke,
you know.
I do know, because that was that's a black term. That's something black people, we said, that's what we would say to each other, like, stay woke.
Right.
Like, that's a black thing, and then.
Were you guys all sleepy?
No.
I'm just fucking with you.
No, you idiot.
Have your eyes open.
It was about injustices.
It made its way to Twitter, and that's when white women picked up the stay woke, because they tried, because, you know, white women had to want to feel it with hip. They wanted to seem hip, and so they started using like our slang and shit. So they, white women, took over the term woke, and now it's anything white people don't like.
Now, is this a fact, or
it is a fact? Yeah, it's
or
a fact.
Is it just your opinion on what?
Do
you,
your research.
What you saw.
No, it's a fact. It's a fact.
You guys went down a deep
street.
I understand where woke came from and what it's about.
Come back.
I was talking
the
in the sense of what people mean in today's terms.
He was
conscious about the earth and other people and the mistreatment of other people, and like he felt that everybody should be treated equally.
Like Michael Jackson.
As a better, you demand perfection, and my bookie delivers. NFL, college football, and brand new cash out system. It gives you options to bet and win all season long. First two legs of your parlay hit, cash out early and use the funds on another bet, or let it ride for a chance at a bigger payday. Join the MyBookie family for an entire season filled with odds, boosts, free bets, and super contests. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now and register for an account for free. Or even easier, follow the link in the show notes of this episode. When you're ready to make your first deposit, just use our promo code, VinylBoys, that's B-O-Y-Z, and grab a welcome cash bonus of 10% off your first deposit up to $200. That's promo code VinylBoys, B-O-Y-Z, and claim your welcome bonus. Minimum deposit of $45 required. One-time rollover and sports action only. You can bet anything, anytime, anywhere. Only with MyBookie. I have a clip here from Bono. We're about to get into one of my favorites. This song is called With or Without You. Here is Bono talking about this particular song and its meaning and giving us the lowdown. Let's hear from the great Bono.
Odd sounds. Odd. The thing about With or Without You to remember is how odd it sounded when it came out. Weird, honest.
It's a vibe.
Rumbling bass.
It's kind of just a really amazing vibe.
Whispering guitar, and there's mumbling voice, and then you get to this big chorus. But we were students of this Roy Orbison tortured love song thing, the slightly off-color love song. And we've written a few, but that was probably the start of it.
This song spoke to me when I was like, how old was I when I heard this song? 8 or something like that, or 7. But when I heard this song, it cut right to me, spoke to me. I had never really lost anything. I was like 7, but I still felt that feeling.
Yeah.
I never lost shit. You know, I'm 7 years old. But man, I heard this song, I was like, oh, the loss of a 7-year-old. It's powerful.
It definitely is.
When you know, you
know,
man.
This is probably, I think, in my opinion, their best song.
With or Without You?
Yeah.
100%. They got a lot of them.
They do. They really do. This one hits right.
I got some facts here. U2 have released 15 studio albums, and they are one of the world's best selling musical artists. They've sold 150 to 170 million records.
Dope.
They've won 22 Grammy Awards, more than any other band. And in 2005, inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on their first year of eligibility. And Rolling Stone ranked U2 at number 22 on its list of 100, the 100 greatest artists of all time.
What a flex.
Damn. But if you've won that many awards, it's like kind of you're at the top there.
All right, what other award can they win? Like,
they've won the most Grammys of all time.
The first
that puts
band
them at the top.
To play to stop a meteor from hitting Earth, they get that award next.
Have they done that?
I don't think so. I have to check, do my research on that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. On Song Facts, it's saying that in this song, Bono describes a tortured relationship that he can't escape. And the lyric can be interpreted in many ways. Bono explained that he wanted to write a love song that dealt with real issues. And again, as like a young kid when I first heard it, I didn't have any loves or anything, but I still can feel the song. It's a good song.
I mean, if you really listen to what he was saying, like when we were kids and we hear this song, and you'd be like, okay, I understand what he's saying, like T.A. just said, you're like, oh shit, nah, I get it. I love this fucking song.
It was heard in a lot of sitcoms too. Friends, The Office, there's quite a few of them, and a couple of movies too.
Really?
Yeah.
I can see this being in Friends.
Yeah.
Speaking of Friends, this band, as we said, they stuck together this entire time since 1976 when they met as kids. They call them pupils, I guess, in school in Ireland. They all met at Mount Temple Comprehensive School. And that is where the band was formed. And you can thank the drummer, Larry Mullen Jr., who posted a little notice on the little cork board at the school. And he says, I'm looking for some fellow musicians to try to start a band. And what do you know? The other three guys were all going to this Mount Temple school.
Comprehensive.
And they all said, hey, I'll be in your band, Larry.
What does that mean?
And so there you have it. They met as teenagers at school, formed a band. 4 years later, they signed a record deal. 5 albums later, they're selling out stadiums. And Americans embrace and love the band U2 from Dublin, Ireland.
They're dope.
Edge, I think, is the combination of Edge and Bono. Bono with the lyrics and the vocals, and then Edge with the sounds from the keyboard and the electric guitar. I'm gonna throw in a good drummer and a guy that can keep it on time with the bass. You got a band.
That song is like, especially if you're going through a breakup or something, it's just pure torment. And that's exactly how Bono described the lyrics of that song.
Does it break your heart?
Right now.
So you, to break your heart.
So if you're going through a breakup, you should definitely listen to that song, right?
I would. Yeah, yeah. You're going to want it because you're going to want to cry. So, yeah, you're going to have to.
Or you can just like be happy.
Yeah.
You can be happy. You can be sad and happy at the same time. You can be like, I'm not going to listen to nothing sad, but I ain't going to rage either.
This song called Bullet in the Sky. I have a nice little story here from Edge. He'll tell you exactly how he came up with this. Hear that little riff? This is how it all went down, according to Edge.
I was listening to The Fall on the way in. There's this one track that had this amazing rhythm part, but it was an up-tempo song. So I was in the studio, I was trying this guitar part, and then Larry came out and started playing drums, but playing halftime. And then Adams chimes in with the bass, and I'm like, what are they doing? That's the wrong fucking beat altogether. So I was playing, we played for about 5 minutes, and I was slightly, slightly peeved. You know, they don't get it. It was what I was going on in my head. I walked into the control room, and everyone was like, whoa, what was that? And I was like, no, but you don't understand. They were playing it wrong.
So it was supposed to be double time.
Yeah, and then I listened back, and I just went, oh my God.
Oh, that beat's ridiculous.
Damn.
So The Fall, a punk rock band from England back in the day, he's listening to them on the way in. He gets to the studio and he tries picking up that riff just to practice. Before you know it, the drummer gives him a little halftime beat, throw in a little bass line, and now a whole new song has been created. Seems like it's all taken from somewhere, you know?
You would think.
This one is definitely a lot different than the first three songs on the other side.
Yeah.
This was a little more groovier.
One other thing I found fascinating about you too is in a world, because I did rock radio for a while, and when you hear rock and roll, there's a sound you think of, you know? Rolling Stones had a rock and roll sound, AC/DC, rock and roll sound, Van Halen, rock and roll. You too kind of stands on their own with the sound. They were played on rock stations alongside AC/DC and these rock bands. But to me, when I hear this band, it's more than just rock music. It's like a pop, rock, blues, even like 70s Pink Floyd sounds I'm hearing right now, you know?
Yeah.
I always thought of them as like an intro to like punk or grunge, my fault.
They were played on rock radio, which I kind of felt like they were slightly out of place with their sound, but it seemed to work. The audience wanted to hear U2, at least a majority of the audience. There were people that were like, oh, U2, they ain't a rock band. But they get classified as a rock band.
I can hear it. I mean, there's a lot of guitar, a lot of drums, you know, some singing, a lot of screaming. That's rock.
This one definitely has the kind of like 90s grunge vibe more than the first three. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're like a pre-grunge sound. Like
this song.
Yeah. Like this song.
The first three are very different than this.
You can go easily out of this song to like a Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But even some of the, like their songs were very like their first three songs that we heard on this album. They were very, you know, they weren't so hardcore, but then they had some that were like this as well. Mm. I think that's just grunge music. Like, it varies.
All the songs it's on the album song. Were like this one.
It's a moody. What the hell is the word?
The moody blues. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's moody music. You know what I'm saying? Grunge was always very emotional music to me.
Yeah, 90s Gen X.
Yeah.
You got to get your.
Why am I so sad?
You got to get your flannel shirt out of the closet.
Your Doc Martens. Yeah. Can't forget those in them jeans that swept the flow.
And just be overall depressed. You know?
Or you can be like, yeah, it's true. You just stand around like this.
See, that's why I was glad I listened to Snoop Dogg and just got high and shit. I was a lot happier.
Yeah, it was hip-hop and R&B. And I listened to pop music back then, too, because, you know.
But I always dug it. I always loved it. Into the arms
of America. Yeah, that's total grunge.
And this song is, I guess, not that song, but the whole album, Joshua Tree, is supposed to be this romance with America that these guys from Ireland have. And it worked because the album really translated to Americans. They fell in love with it. And when you hear about how he studied the music over here, the American music, he spent time with Willie Nelson, spent time with Bob Dylan, Mick Jagger, spent time with Roy Orbison. You heard him mention that in the last song. But he was studying all these different American artists. He came from a world of punk. Like you were saying, that you hear punk music, Ramo. You're right. They were inspired by The Clash and The Ramones. That's what they were listening to.
Right.
But then they started listening to some Stones and some, even Johnny Cash. I've heard Bono say that he's a huge, huge icon and inspiration for Bono.
Sure.
So take him from country, take him from rock and roll, learning the American culture, and then knocking it out here with this Joshua Tree.
Yeah. See, and that's funny because Johnny Cash kind of played both lines too, because I always thought of him as a kind of rock and roll slash country singer. Artist. Yeah, like
yeah.
I kind of felt like he did both, you know. You consider, like, you know, the early guys like Chuck Berry and all that, what that type of rock
like
and roll
they
was.
Said his type of country is outlaw country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
The song is Running to Stand Still. It's about heroin addiction.
Yeah. I remember that.
You remember your addiction, or you remember?
No. I remember like, that. What? I remember that the song was about that.
Both.
When it came out, they talked about it. Yeah, no, I never had an addiction.
He doesn't
heroin.
Remember the heroin addiction because that's still going on.
I've never done heroin outside of ecstasy.
Yeah,
but I've done a lot of cocaine.
Cocaine.
Yeah.
I got another soundbite here from Bono. He was a huge fan of the idea of America, but a critic of real America. And I think there's some very insightful talk here from Bono.
So we started to explore this this idea of America. I felt I personally became like an annoying fan of this mythic America, where the liner notes, you know, of the country, like the Declaration of Independence, where I would follow America into the bathroom and quote the liner notes saying, you know, what's happened to you?
Yeah.
This is who you are. You're not living up to who you are. And for whatever reason, I think because of just love and respect for the idea of America, we've gotten away with being such a pain in the ass critic.
It is odd that a band from Ireland, you know, critiques everything about America and then Americans relate with them.
Well, I do find it weird that the album is about having an infatuation with America only to start critiquing America. That's a little weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I think if you look at it more, it's like they were kind of let down because
or
they
you could just say the expectation. Or you could just, they,
yeah.
You know what? It's like seeing the hot chick.
You never want to meet your heroes.
And
there.
You romanticize about how beautiful she is. Sure. Her body is perfect.
Until
her smile
you get her in
is
bed
perfect.
And she sucks.
Yeah, and then her breath smells. It's like, what? What happened?
That's not her breath.
She looks so beautiful from across the pond.
Right.
And that's what he would say, that people from other countries, they have this fantasy about America. It's the land of freedom, which
well,
there are a lot of freedoms
They are
here.
Lucky in the way that no one ever had that fantasy about Ireland. Yeah. Just kidding. I'm Irish. I can say that.
I like to go, I like to go over there
I'm
and
glad
drink,
you
drink
put
a pint.
That disclaimer in there.
Go back to your country, lad. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I get it. I mean, because, you know, that's how people from outside the United States, they view the United States till they get here, and they're like, oh, man. What a facade.
It's the same shit.
Well, every country.
Yeah. Same shit, different eagle.
All right, we're
know,
going
different
to a
bird.
We're going to a new record.
Whatever you want
to
call
we've
that
We've already
shit.
Eaten through two sides of a 12-inch.
We are slutty.
So I got how they got the name U2. It's pretty cool.
How did they get the
name? So U2 is an American spy plane used back in the 1950s and early 60s. Okay. And one possible suggestion for the band's name was a U2 plane crash 4 days prior to Bono's birthday. So, you know, that's how they came up with the name U2. But there's more. Yeah, there's more. Check this out.
There's
more.
Do tell.
Yeah. So there could be, it also, they said it's also a play on words like U-T-O-O-O and U-T-W-O. Like U2.
I always thought it was the number 2.
It is U, and then the number 2.
Yeah,
is,
but then you can also spell like either one of those, and you're still right.
Now that would be a nice cover band name,
U
T O O, instead of U T W O.
Just two.
Well, yeah, they're just yeah. U. Their brand is the U, and then the numerical number 2.
Right. But like I'm saying, like if you're a U2 cover band, your name could be U T O O.
U2. Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. U2.
Nobody stole that. I'm
you also.
Yeah. I'm thinking you
well.
Like I'm thinking you're talking about like a whole nother way, like just a regular band. I'm thinking, I'm like, how can we make this work? I'm figuring out how we can make this work. I think we can make that work.
I think we could play this music. It seems
this is dope. You can play this at like if you're doing a wedding or like a corporate event. And doing like dinner time or cocktail time, you can play the song.
We'd have to let Tomcat swing though.
This song is Red Hill Mining Town.
I guess that would be Northern California.
Yep.
I'm thinking.
We going on a field trip, folks.
Emerald Coast.
Where are the Red Hills? Does anybody know?
I don't know, but I can look it up.
So we talked about Bono and the fact that he would be America's biggest critic. Well, once you start criticizing America, you do get haters.
Uh-oh.
And as we've said, if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping.
That's true.
But here is Bono. This is, I thought, was a really interesting story. Again, all these audio clips I got from Apple Music and Zane Lowe. I don't know if you guys know who Zane Lowe is, but he really did a good interview with U2, and so that's where we're getting these clips from. So we'd like to thank Apple Music for these clips.
And Zane Lowe.
But this clip right here is Bono talking about how once you start criticizing America, it comes with death threats.
Sure.
And this was a pretty wild story here from Bono.
I think in Arizona, we campaigned for Martin Luther King Day when it was being rejected. And the FBI came down and said, look, we're worried about the show tonight. And we've been told that if you sing this song, Pride in the Name of Love, you will be executed. And we're taking it seriously because there's a lot of people, it's hard to pat everyone down, all of that.
But
I remember going ahead with that. Of course, we're not going to be intimidated. But I do remember having a moment, the verse in the middle where it talks about the assassination. I thought, well, it's going to happen here. So I kind of got down on my knee and I closed my eyes. And when I looked up, he was standing in front of me, giving it all the...
Amazing.
Giving it a bit of...
Amazing.
Of chin.
Yeah.
He's pointing at his bass player.
But you know, America was and is a taciturn place. It can turn on itself. We've all got a lot of stake in the American idea. We want it to succeed, and it's a beautiful idea. And that's why we get worked up about it, and that's why we're passionate about it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
100%. Do you know what makes sense? Do you know what song that they were talking about?
Which one?
Bloody Sunday, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
He was saying Pride in the Name of Love was the song.
Was it? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. For the MLK deal. They were trying to make it a holiday.
Sunday. Oh, okay.
That's another song, Bloody Sunday.
I thought that one was about the day that MLK died, Bloody Sunday.
Is it?
Look that up.
I already know that it is, but I'll look it up again.
So maybe it was that song.
Well, he just mentioned that they were doing Pride in the Name of Love, and I guess there's a lyric in there that talks about an assassination. I don't know the lyrics of the song that well to know that.
Me either.
But he says as he's singing that, he goes down on one knee, and all of a sudden there's talk that he's going to be assassinated, and his bass player stands in front of him as he kneels down to sing the lyric. Pretty powerful.
Okay.
Yeah, that is.
I was wrong about the Bloody Sunday one. The Bloody Sunday is one of U2's most overly political songs. Lyrics have described the horror felt by an observer of the troubles of Northern Ireland, mainly focusing on the 1972 Bloody Sunday incident in Derry, where British troops shot and killed unarmed civil rights protesters. Okay. So they got a history of that over there in Ireland and over here.
They do.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, they sure do. I remember, especially in the 80s.
Yeah, they weren't considered white people until they came to America.
Well, thanks.
It's true. I found out where Red Hills Park is, or where the Red Hills is.
Mining towns or the Red Hills? What is it?
It's in Sumner, Illinois.
Okay.
Zip code 62466.
Nice. That was cheesy.
Yeah, I know, but you know, I take and get them when I can.
A lot of love for Bono on this album as I listen to it. It's reminding me of how talented he is with these sounds. You hear these, like, little guitar sounds and sounds on a keyboard. Bono had all those interesting sounds, and I think when you do harmonize Bono's singing with Edge's sounds he makes on his keyboard, it is U2.
U2,
it's good. Damn, is it good.
You know, and not to go back to an old topic, but I like to believe that U2 was coming from the place of what America, as far as our government does to its people, you know, and how we're treated. You know, they had a problem with that, not America as, you know, a society. I think they probably thought we were pretty awesome, you know, as much as they did and, you know, learned about us. And, you know, I have to think that they were quite enamored with who we are as a society and felt maybe we should be treated better as a whole.
Possibly.
The song was used in the 1999 movie Three Kings, starring George Clooney. I like that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's when they did the Iraq War movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called In God's Country.
Ice Cube was in that jungle.
Yeah.
Another thing I think that's interesting about this band, we talked about the fact they stayed together for all these years and still together, but the fact that they never went out and did like a solo project. You know, we heard that with a lot of these bands where, oh, the lead singer decided he wants to go do his own thing. You know, Bono, I'm just surprising, but as you read about them, their manager once said the reason why they never did a solo project is he doesn't know that one of them has the talent to do it by themselves. That the reason why the band was so good is because each one of them brought out the best in each other, and each one of them brought something different to the table. And he thinks that there, if they went out and did something solo, probably wouldn't be successful, because the reason why they're successful is because it, you know, takes a band, a band of people.
Sure.
Yeah, well, you know what? At least they won bands that we know of that actually took that serious, you know, where it's like, yo, I know I can't do it by myself because I would flop, and you know y'all would also be bad, so just stick together and make some dope shit. And here we go.
This is very bluesy.
Yeah, it is. This reminds me of, like, being in... Oh, shit. Back when my uncles would let us come in, they had little juke joint shits.
Yeah.
And somehow we sneak our asses in there, and motherfuckers be playing the harmonica, motherfuckers be drinking, and bitches be everywhere. This was just remind me of.
I guess over the course of recording this album, it took them about 9 months to get this completed. And we've heard some albums, you know, they bang it out in 2 weeks, but this one took 9 months. And during the recording of this album, twice they paused recording to participate in benefit concerts.
That's dope.
So they did the 1986 Self Aid in Dublin, which was trying to help Ireland's unemployment crisis by raising some funds to try to get more jobs. And then they also were a part of Conspiracy of Hope, which I'm not sure what that is. But that was another cause that they stopped recording to do some charitable stuff, which kudos to them.
Fuck yeah, man. That's dope.
Another thing that slowed down the recording of this album was Bono's, one of his close friends, and he was a personal assistant to Bono. During the recording of this, his best friend and assistant, Greg Carroll, was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, boy.
So he says that even though 1986, they were doing so much great things creatively, that as he was going through everything in 1986 preparing for this album, his marriage was under a strain because I guess they were recording and they were on the road and there was a lot of pressure with this album, so his marriage was going to shit. And then his personal assistant killed in a motorcycle accident. Damn. And so he says it was just a real struggle for him during this time. And they do say that pain for artists, when you can express the pain in music or in art in any kind, it really translates to the audience. You can really feel the emotion.
Yeah.
So
Definitely.
Maybe that's why this album is so great too, because Bono and the band going through so much pain at the time.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
The album's working title was Two Americas, and that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of the theory behind what they were talking about in this.
Well, you kind of asked a question, Gentry, what Conspiracy of Hope was. And it was actually six benefit concerts held by this company called Amnesty International. And they took a bunch of bands. They headlined with people like Sting, Bryan Adams, Peter Gabriel. And the Police actually did their reunion tour show.
Oh, that's dope.
The last 3 years that they had it. And it subsequently turned into what ended up being the human rights concerts.
That's awesome.
It was kind of like a human rights concert, making awareness about injustices, you know, everywhere.
I bet those are some killer concerts.
Yeah.
I remember watching back in 2004 or 5 or whenever it was, Live Earth or Live Aid. It was on MTV, VH1.
They stole the show at Live Aid, I heard.
Yeah.
Because it was like, it was a concert going on each continent. Like, I forget who's in fucking Antarctica. But I remember Linkin Park was in Japan. I watched the London.
Was it Dee Dee?
What? Shut up.
Who's Dee Dee?
Dee Dee's nuts.
Shut your dick, man.
Well, trying to tell a cool story and this motherfucker come up with some shit.
More great sounds from The Edge here.
Yeah.
All these little interesting sounds The Edge comes up with. I have a great story here from The Edge. It's kind of long, but I think you'll enjoy it. As they're being interviewed, they were asked during the Joshua Tree, you know, were there any drugs involved? This is a band that really, maybe one of the reasons why they stayed together. You don't hear about the heroin problems and the big drug and alcohol problems from this band. But it does sound like there were some drugs done. And here's the story from Edge talking about the drugs that were done while they were recording Joshua Tree.
There were no drugs involved, but at least...
Magic mushrooms.
Oh, really?
Okay. They used to grow in the field.
Okay, there was magic mushrooms.
Funny moment with the mushrooms. This was a metaphysical experiment, you understand?
Of course.
Very spiritual. So I happened to come late to a party that was happening at Adam's house, and some lads were offering me some to try. So I said, I'd never done it before, might as well. So took a few, waited 40 minutes, nothing had happened.
You didn't double down.
So I doubled, trebled down. It's even worse because I actually went to bed of a dark room watching fireworks displays that are happening in my imagination. And then I started to understand the secrets of the universe. I had this moment of insight and I was thinking to myself, I will never remember these tomorrow.
That's right.
I have to record these insights. So I crawled across the floor, which took me about 25 minutes. Got to my Walkman, my recording Walkman.
Yeah.
Got back to bed, hit play, and then the red light came on. So it was another 25 minutes looking at the red light. Oh no, the secrets of the universe. Next day, woke up. Better go and listen to what that was. So I went up, and it was still in record. You know, batteries all run down. Yeah. But so put new batteries in, turned the tape over. Hit play. I was like, all I could hear was, because I've been talking into the battery compartment the whole night. Lost, not a single audible word. Lost.
The secrets of the universe lost to time.
When I first hearing him tell that story, I'm thinking, wow, like maybe Streets with No Names, like how did he, maybe came up with something when he was on the mushrooms.
Yeah.
Whatever he came up with, he does not remember and was not audible.
So, it makes me want to do mushrooms.
That has always been my experience with mushrooms. I've done mushrooms quite a bit, and you think you're like coming up with some crazy shit, and if you record it or write it down, you look at it after, and it is complete jargon nonsense.
It makes so much sense on the mushrooms.
You definitely feel like you were revealed to the secrets of the universe on mushrooms and acid.
They make me feel like acid, paper acid.
Yep.
I'm not a huge fan.
Depends. I haven't done mushrooms, pun intended.
Yeah, I haven't done them yet.
No?
No.
I had somebody offered me a chocolate bar that was like microdosing.
And then he was like, get in the van.
No. That was something else. That was heroin. No. The And yeah, no, it was interesting to say the least.
Well, no, they do have the mushroom chocolates. It's in the bag, and those are apparently really, really good.
They were
like really good.
It was the most I've ever felt off mushrooms when I've ever taken them. Like, and I've only done it a couple times, but that was
How would you describe your high?
Spectacular.
No. And for me, it was...
Well, it's rainbow, so it's spectacular.
It was kind of intense. A bit anxious, yeah, for me.
So that don't seem like good then, because if you were anxious, that, like, it kind of goes, you know, against the purpose, right? I mean, cause I'm asking because, like, eventually soon I'm going to do some mushrooms because I'm very, very curious.
But I think that's something you got to be in the right mind to do. And well, I don't know that I was prepared to do that.
So
I just
basically,
did it on
you
whim.
Shouldn't be, like, in an argument with somebody and then, like, fuck that, I'm taking these mushrooms. And then next thing you know, you like having a bad trip.
Next song's called Exit.
You may find their head on the bedpost.
Is this the last song?
No, there's one more after this.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to sit around my fire pit throwing some good music like this. And go to space.
I would do something a little more intense, like some Pink Floyd.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of these songs actually remind me of Pink Floyd a little bit. Yeah, sure. Pink Floyd inspired.
I would imagine they've had some influence of, you know.
Pink Floyd, huh? Yeah, you know what? Little Dark Side of the Moon, I can do that.
The one album we haven't done is The Wall. We did do Dark Side of the Moon.
We talked about doing the wall, though.
Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone.
That was an epic song.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh, I like that little bass line there. It's coming in. Yep. Here's another clip from Bono. One thing I'd like for us to look up, too. What is Bono's real name and Edge's real name? That'd be interesting, I think, to know. But here is Bono talking about meeting his hero, Bob Dylan. Let's listen in.
I met my hero at Slane Castle. I was standing waiting for him and to meet him, and he came from behind, and this guy knocked me on the shoulder. I turned around and went, "Can I have your autograph?" Which is just genius. It's just totally Bob Dylan.
Did you give it to him?
No, I couldn't speak or think or talk. You know, whether it was Sinatra, Willie Nelson, you know, Roy Orbison. We go after these people in order to learn. So we went off on this journey of discovery into American music and folk music, and that we had in one hand as we went into the Joshua Tree, and in the other hand, we had Let's Make Music, the likes of which no one has ever heard before.
Yeah, yeah.
So ancient and modern, that was the dialectic.
I would say that that's kind of like what we're hearing here, you know?
I love that.
Another thing that U2, I think they do get the credit for it, so I don't want to say they don't get a lot of credit for it, but maybe they should get more. I've never been to a U2 concert, but they say it's one of the best shows you'll ever go to.
Yeah.
That with the visuals, and they really tell a story when you go to a U2 concert. And they sold out stadiums. And they're really big on making sure that every seat in the arena has a great experience. Even the people that sit all the way in the back. Bono has always said that. I think I even have a clip of him talking about that.
That's so dope. I mean,
are you talking about Paul David Houston? Or Houston, I'm sorry.
Is that his real name?
Yeah.
Paul. His name's Paul.
Call
Paul
my government.
David Houston.
Houston.
Paul David Houston.
Houston, we have a problem.
What about Edge? Do you know his you know Edge's real name? What is Edge's real name?
I was hoping somebody else could look that one up.
I thought Memphis was hard at work on that one.
I was looking up something else, sorry.
He's looking at porn.
What's funny is like the other guys just like use their real names because it's Adam Clayton on bass guitar. You know, he doesn't have some name like The Edge. And then you had Larry Mullen Jr. back there on the drums. Old Larry.
How about
Larry and Adam?
How about David?
That's why they're not famous.
Howell Evans.
So imagine if the band was Paul Hewson, David Powell, Adam Clayton, and Larry Mullen. I don't know that they're famous. It's the Bono and the Edge.
Yeah, you got it.
You got to have that cool ass name.
It was David Howell.
And those other two guys messed up by not getting a cool nickname, man. I would have been like, Razor. Razor. I'm Razor. Yeah. You're Edge, Oscar. You're Razor.
It's metaphorical.
The Spike. Oh, yeah, the Spike on drums back there. Something.
If they would have had cooler names, they probably would have been as famous as Bono and the Edge.
True.
Yep.
You got to have a good name.
They sound like wrestlers, actually.
Yeah, they do.
I thought Butter Rose
coming in
a
combined weight of 624 pounds.
Bono
and the Edge, tag team champs. Here is Bono, though, talking about how he likes for everybody to have a great time at their concert, not just the people sitting in the front row.
The thing is at a U2 show, we want the best seat to be the back of the house. Everything's designed for that. Mm-hmm. So whether we're climbing into the audience. That, I think they call it the fourth wall. We're always trying to smash that. My idea of a performer is not one that's comfortable with the distance between the stage and the audience. My idea of a performer is one that might leave the stage and you might find them in your life, on your lap, following you home, mugging you in the alley, making you tea, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But that comfortable distance, we've always tried to attack as a band, and between an audience and the stage, we try to smash that. We do it with technology now, but back then we just did it physically. We went into the audience.
We know a guy like that, don't we?
Burning.
That's what I'm pointing at you. Like, oh, yeah, I might come into the audience and leave the stage.
Yeah, big time. Burning.
We know a performer like that.
I guess Bono did that at Live Aid, when he's telling the story, he says that he hates seeing the footage of it because he had the worst mullet ever.
That's hilarious.
But
he didn't think it was bad that time.
If you go look at the footage of Bono at Live Aid back in the mid-80s, the late-80s, I guess he had a terrible mullet, but he went into the stage, or went off the stage and went into the crowd.
And flew with his mullet into the crowd.
And he started dancing with someone that was like being pushed around. You know how when you get at a big festival and somebody looks like they're being trampled. He went out there and seeked this woman out, danced with her, made her kind of like the star of the crowd, did his 30th anniversary concert for this particular album, Joshua Tree. And what do you know, that same woman out in the crowd, she was holding up a sign. He goes out 30 years later and has another moment with this same woman.
That's dope.
I think you can look it up on the internet.
That's awesome.
Bono at Live Aid, helping a woman from getting trampled and making her a star, and then seeing her 30 years later at like a tribute to the Joshua Tree album. Same woman. That's a pretty
dope.
Good story.
He's a cool dude.
Now, that's super how dope. Do you think he knew it was the same woman? Did you think she looked the same?
I think she was holding up some kind of sign. She was pointed out to him, and then he confirmed it was her. And so I think there's a picture out on the internet where you can see him with his mullet back in the day with this woman helping her and dancing with her.
Mm-hmm. And hi, Bono, it's me, Susan.
And you can see him like some 30 years later, same woman.
That's dope.
She's like 200 pounds heavier.
Oh, that's fun. Dude, you're such a dad. I swear.
Bags under eyes.
You sure that's her, man?
Stop it. Wrong podcast.
Well, I'm looking at the images of him and the girl. I'm looking at the one in Live 8. So I see it like he's hugging her and stuff right now. And everything.
Is she
and
hot?
You can't really see because she's got so like fat. Most of her face in the
Now Memphis is trying to tell a story, TK. Stop being so disrespectful.
Trying not to laugh, TK. Dang. So the girl, she's got her face like in his neck area, so he's curling her so she can't really see her. But I see that moment back then. I don't know. I ain't seen no new one yet.
I wonder if he banged her.
I don't know.
That's one thing about you too. We don't have like any Motley Crue stories where they got all fucked up and trashed a hotel room, or you know, no Nikki Sixx stories where they didn't show up because they were doing too much heroin.
One thing I do like about them is their formula for making music and the way that they went about making music and their ideas. I love it like that about them. It's great. And they didn't get caught up all in the drugs, so they were able to do other things like help people and go around and do benefit concerts and get into helping civil rights movements and shit like that back at home in Ireland, here in the United States, because they weren't all like focused on themselves and having, you know, I had a drug addiction, so I'm not casting shade on people with drug addictions, but because they didn't have one,
I'm guessing
they
smoked. A more
fruitful life, I would say.
They probably were big fans of the
ganja?
Pato. Marijuana.
What'd you call it? The tatos?
Pato.
Oh, pato. What does that mean?
Just pot with an O at the end of it. Yeah.
Hierba buena.
The good shit.
This last song here is called Mothers of the Disappeared and
Plan of the Gods.
In 2014, the Joshua Tree was inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame and was selected for preservation in the U.S. National Recording Registry.
Awesome.
That's dope.
For being deemed culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant by the Library of Congress.
You know what that means? So, like, if the world is going to end, or we have, like, one of those 2012 moments, like the movie with the flood and some shit, and they take the Constitution out of it, they also take this album.
Is that the Nicolas Cage movie?
No, that's the one with John Cusack.
Yeah.
I thought the Constitution was in there.
Con Air? 2012.
Well, 2012, John Cusack, but then he said the Constitution.
Oh, yeah, the one with not. Yeah. Oh, the Nicolas Cage one, man. Yeah. That was called Taken. Oh, not Taken. Shit. But it's good.
Is that it?
That was a good one.
Wow.
Yes. That last song, obviously, not obviously, but it was written on his mother-in-law's Spanish guitar, Bono, for the beautiful pictures of the missing sons and daughters you see like all over the place of missing children.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that one
That's
was.
Awesome.
That's dope, man.
Yeah, they did all kind of great things.
The title.
Man. Yeah, you two, I mean, even if you weren't a fan of the music, you had to be a fan of the band.
You know, but it's hard to be a fan of the band and not the music, because, I mean, the music is crazy.
100%.
This album is dope. I'm buying it.
It is. Me too.
This sound was made on a stereo, like a prototype guitar. It was saying on Song Facts.
Interesting.
This song, right? Mm-hmm. This sound right here.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a new venue in Las Vegas called The Sphere. I don't know if anyone has seen it, but it looks really cool, and it's got like all these digital screens, LEDs, where they make it look like all kinds of crazy stuff. And it just opened, and I guess U2 is going to be doing some of the first concerts at The Sphere in Las Vegas. And if you go to U2.com, they have information about their tours, and you can buy vinyl records. You know, we are Dim Vinyl Boys.
Mm-hmm.
You can get some of the classic anniversary editions of The Joshua Tree. They got cool shirts on here. So check out U2.com.
Yeah, man.
That's going to do it for this edition of Dim Vinyl Boys. We are brought to you by Factor Meals. Make sure you go to Factor Meals and use our promo code DVB50. That is factormeals.com/DVB50 and save 50% on pre-made meals. Ready to eat in 2 minutes, and they're pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Delicious.
We got a delicious album for you next week. We could do the Beatles. We could do Lenny Kravitz. We could do the Stones. You guys have any suggestions?
I like Lenny Kravitz because I watched his concert the other night, and I'm like a big fan anyway, so I'm going Lenny Kravitz.
That's fine with me.
All right, man, we'll do some Lenny, I guess. Next
yeah,
time.
Lenny Kravitz, 30 is high.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Keep that needle in the groove. And go back and listen to some of our older episodes. We've done Pink Floyd. We've done LL Cool J last week, if you missed last week's episode. I mean, so many great albums from different genres and different times and different eras. But this was a good one. You
this
too.
A great one.
Yeah.
The Joshua Tree. Until next time, we'll see you. We're out of here.
We're out. Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.